Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. I'm so excited about this week's episode. I had such great chats with Young Mi Mayer. She's a comedian here in New York City. She's absolutely hysterical. And I also love her podcast. It's called Feeling Asian. So if you get a chance, please download it, listen to it. But I really think you're going to enjoy this episode. So Young Mi is a single mother. She talks about her divorce. She talks about being able to still be young and have a fun life while also having a child and dating while doing that. She talks about casual sex, having sex with an Irish man, and we just loads of chats. So if you want to watch the video for this episode, it's up on the Patreon. So Patreon/ The Shift Podcast. There's also solo episodes there as well where I just go into more detail about my own personal dating life that I just don't have time to talk about on this. So if you want to sign up, it's pay what you want for now. And and that's all there. There's all the previous videos and a solo bonus episode a week. I'm very excited about this episode. So have a listen and I'll talk to you at the end. So this is just like dating, relationships, anti-shame, the chats. But come here to me. I want to talk to you quickly about, I just saw you post about you're getting in trouble on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Fresh off my ban from TikTok. I'm temporarily banned, but it's actually really funny because if you've watched my TikToks, I make these TikToks where I talk about white people in the way that white people talk to me as an Asian person.
Yeah.
So like it's like, people, I think a bunch of white supremacists found me and they're like, oh, this is really racist against white people. But I'm like, but I'm using the words that you use against me. Like, I'm literally just like, for example, I have a TikTok where I go to like an Asian person goes to a white restaurant. And I'm like, ooh, everything is so exotic. And like, you can tell this is a great restaurant because there's so many white people in here, which is like what white people say to Asian people on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how is that? I'm literally just copying what you said. How is it racist?
It's you know what I mean? It's not at all. And it's complete. I put up a TikTok video there. I have to do these like educational videos. I usually do like sex ed ones. I work for like a TikTok thing. But I was just like, I couldn't think of a sex ed one and I was tired. So I did like in Ireland, we don't say top of the morning to you. Irish Spring is actually made by a German. It was originally made by a German company. It's not Irish. And we don't have Lucky Charms. And like, that's the thing. A lot of Americans will say stuff like to me that's not Irish. And they just presume and I've never been to Ireland. Yeah. Or they tell me I don't have an Irish accent. And when I ask them if they've been to Ireland, they say no. And so this kind of it's a huge like I've never understood how you could just presume knowledge to, like I'm from the country, you know, like they presume they know more. But a girl wrote on it, and it was just when I saw that I was just thinking about it. A girl wrote on it like, and she got really mad. So this is just yesterday. She wrote something like, she was like, you're a dummy, we know this, and it was like a really, really angry, aggressive comment. But I was like, why would you get mad? I'm just saying what you guys say to me, and I'm letting you know it's not true.
Exactly. Well, people get so angry on TikTok, and for me and what I've noticed, like the people, I know I hate doing, I only do it because like we can't really do a lot of stand-up now, and I'm like, I do it very like begrudgingly. But I feel like that like what you just said, it's like I am Irish, I'm from Ireland, people say this to me, and like, so I say things like that, like I'm Asian, white people say things like this to me every single day. So, and a lot of white people are like, no they don't. I'm like, they literally do. Of course they don't say it to you, like, you're not Irish or you're not Asian, how would you know?
And it's always like,
it is a crazy app. Yeah.
Well, it's also, I just don't understand why people get offended. It's like when you tell a guy, oh, all of these guys message me like pictures of their dick, and there's a guy who would never do that. So he's like, no, guys don't do that. And it's like, okay, you don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because you don't doesn't mean other people don't do it.
It's like the not all men thing. It's like, okay, we get it. You don't do that. We get that. But other men do. And I can show you their dicks right now. Yeah. Do you want to see them?
Yeah. Like,
yeah. It's so weird. It's gaslighting. But I'm excited. I liked how you said Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms?
Well, because I feel like you said it in like, I don't know. I don't know. I know there's a lot of different kinds of accents in Ireland, but I was like, that sounded authentic.
Yeah, there's like at least, I don't know, it has to be like at least 50 or hundreds of different accents, because each town has a different mm-hmm. accent. And right. Yeah, and then my accent is obviously like a little different, because I've been living here for 6 years. So right. It's like lesser, so people will understand me.
Where are you from in Ireland?
Kildare.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah, it's fine. It's everybody always asks where I'm from, and if you don't say Dublin, they're like, I don't know. yeah, which is fine.
That's so funny.
Yeah, so well, you'll get your TikTok back. That's crazy. Like, it's so crazy because there's actual racist shit. There's actual
racist on TikTok. Well, I think what's crazy is that I don't really look through my mentions on TikTok. I just look at the likes, and like, they just sort of get buried. But I looked, and there's this one guy that's been like literally stalking and tagging me every single day, harassing me, commenting just a bunch of comments, and I didn't notice. And I was like, I feel like this guy had something to do with this.
Yeah, definitely. You have to block those. Yeah. I feel like if they write, because I was getting a lot of shit for doing sex ed videos. Like, people were, I pissed off a lot of, I guess, American Christian people. They were like, you're not a real Catholic. And I'm like, yeah, I know I'm not. But like, still, I'm allowed to do sex ed. But because I wear a cross. So that really, and a lot of the videos got taken down, or I got like all of that shite. But
that's so crazy.
Yeah, it's the same people. So then, like, if I see a comment or two of like angry comments, I just block that person.
I mean, I was really good at doing that, but then I was just like, I guess this guy slipped under the radar, and I don't know what's been going on.
But it's hard for you because your videos are blowing up. So if they're like getting like a million views, it's impossible to.
Yeah. But that was kind of creepy, because I've never seen somebody at that level. Like, I've obviously seen a bunch of really shitty comments under my videos, but like, this guy was like tagging me on everything, just commenting crazy on everything. I was like, sir, go outside and breathe some air. what a weird app, huh?
It is really weird. People get so mad on it, and especially an app where you can just scroll so easily. So it's like, just keep scrolling. It's not, I haven't offended you by just I've had like the meanest comments on that app. I don't like it. I prefer Instagram.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you for doing that work, the anti-shame around sex work. I feel like, or sex, not sex work, but sex, because I feel like that's a big part of, like, I feel like my, you know, like, as comedians, you have like these core like things that you want to say, right? And I feel like that's one of the big things I want to say, you know. And it's like a branch of feminism that I feel like a lot of people, even in this day and age, like, you know, because you just said you get a lot of harassment for this, it's dangerous and scary for women to say that out loud, which is bizarre. It blows my mind, you know.
Yeah, I had a stalker guy. I don't think I talked about it on the podcast, but it definitely, probably because of my videos, but he like turned up to a show and everything. It was absolutely crazy. And I was like going on dates with someone at the time, and he was like a guy who does, I don't want to say exactly what he did, but he does like physical sports. So he was like a big guy, and this guy, the stalker guy, didn't care. He was like so deluded in his what was going on between us. So you just have to be, look, I just think as a woman, you're just always at risk, and then people get so offended when you're just, because even with me, I talk about sex. I don't post a lot of thirst traps. I know I had posted a couple of bikini pics when I was in Miami, but other than that, I don't. It's the written word, and it really offends them. They get really mad. Like that a guy will think that he's like in a relationship with me. I don't know, it's fucking crazy.
Wow, that's so insane. Well, I'm happy that you're doing it, and I'm proud of you for doing it, because I know it's not easy.
Wait, so you had told me you had gone on a, you've been dating an Irish lad. I think this is interesting.
Well, you, okay. So you were like, do you want to do my podcast? I was like, oh my God, yes. And you said something like, oh, it's about like sex. And a lot of people in Ireland listen to it. And I was like, oh, this is great because I just had sex with an Irish person. So I'm going to talk. But this is what's funny, Katie. This is, I was like thinking about this after I heard from you. This is so random. I feel like I've had sex with a lot of Irish people over the years. Out of nowhere, because it's like more than like any other person from Europe.
And like, so men from Ireland.
Yeah, isn't that weird? From not like Irish American, yeah. Like from Ireland.
Well, I guess New York is full of them, so
that's what I've been told, but I don't really see them out on the streets. I just end up having sex with, like, I will find the one.
They do come out in the middle of the night, though, because in Ireland there's this thing, it's like before the lights come up, then you're like looking for, so the lights come up, it means that the night is over, so they're always like looking right. for someone to have sex with. So maybe like the Irish guys, that's, here just come yeah. out when the lights are coming up at the bar
right at like 4 a.m. yeah. And I'm always still around.
That's, so have you found a difference between having sex with Irish men versus other men?
I guess I'm the expert now. No, not necessarily. I feel like I don't really, like, when I sleep with somebody, it's hard for me to like group them together in a way. Like, I, that's see good. Them as like that you know what I mean, like I just see
that's
them
really
as,
good that's and progressive.
And I have to say, I haven't had sex with that many Irish people. Like, if I had sex with like 1,000, I'd be like, I have like, but it's not
a proper
many.
Like scientific sample.
The data, I don't have enough for like real data, but I haven't really noticed that.
All the Irish guys listening are being like, just say we're the best.
they're the best. Dicks are the biggest. I have to
well,
say,
that's a okay, lie.
So, wait, no, because so this is funny. The last person that I slept with, who's Irish, just very recently, had a huge dick, and I was like, and then the last other Irish person I slept with, which was a long time ago, just like at least a year ago, also had a huge dick. So I was like, wait, do you all have just like huge dicks? And he was like, I don't think so. I've never really asked my friends, but I was like, in my mind, I was like, I just made it up. Like, to myself, I was like, yeah, just, they all have huge dicks. So now I just believe that. But,
well, the last guy, like, there is a stereotype, and I never heard it until I moved over here, that Irish guys have small penises, but that hasn't been my experience at all. They have like average or big, fine. Like, I've seen bigger over here, but those ones have been like maybe a bit terrifying, like too big. I wouldn't want that, you know.
From Irish guys?
No, that was an Irish guy. That was a different
guy. Okay.
Yeah, that was like, I'm saying,
I see
like
what you mean.
Yeah.
No, I get it. Yeah.
But I think, like, yeah, Irish guys have fine penises. The last Irish guy that I
from
ever
what I've seen, yeah,
well, yeah, was with, he had like, and he asked me afterwards, he was like, is my penis big enough? And I was like, yeah, it's great. He's like,
yes sir.
Yeah, he also asked me, he said, am I the best sex you've ever had? And I was like, we just slept together, it was our first time sleeping together. And I was like, as you know, it was great. I don't know how to answer that question. I don't know you that well, like we had just had a couple of dates. So I was like, Jesus, insecure.
Wow, that is really insecure, because I feel like, yeah, I mean, I think that's like men think of, I mean, I'm being very like cis het right now, but like cis het men think of sex as a very like, we're gonna win this game, and
I know,
like, we need a few months to get to know each other. Like,
yeah. And I'm hypocritical, because I remember one time like seeing a guy for a while and then being like, oh my god, this is the best, and him not saying it back, and me being like, in my head being like, so offended.
How dare you?
Yeah, you just lie. But this is different. This is the first time we slept together, and I was like, I can't. Yeah. I'm not even sure, you know, like, I don't know anything. You know, like, it was just like after a couple of dates, so it was a bizarre. Yeah. But yes, lovely penises. So that's good. We're defeating that stereotype.
Wow, who said that Irish guys have small penises?
Americans have said that to me. They've been
like, American women.
No, just Americans in general. I've never heard that stereotype. Yeah, I've heard that stereotype only over here, and I heard I think an Irish comedian talk about it on stage, being like, oh, apparently there's this stereotype that we have small penises. And I was like, wow, I don't know.
Never heard that.
Yeah. Well, so there we go. And did you date an Irish man? No, just slept with them.
No, I don't think I've ever dated an Irish person. I think I've, oh, I dated an Irish American person. Like, he's like ethnically probably mostly Irish, but he was like an American person.
Yeah,
but that was years ago. I'm old as shit. This was like literally 16 years ago.
How old?
I was a full, I'm 36. So I was a full blown adult. Yeah.
You look like 24.
Wow. Thanks, Katie. That's great. Just kidding. I don't mind looking old.
Yeah, but you don't look old. So you cannot mind it because you don't look old.
I'm not going to care about it until I look old. And really,
yeah, you're like,
offended.
I don't mind that I look old. You literally, I would ID you at my bar. Okay, so, and you also, I wanted to talk to you as well because we've had like, I had a listener in and she was talking about like wanting to have a child. Now she's 40, I think. She's going to text me now and be like, I'm not 40. But let's say she's like maybe 38, 39, 40. And she never met someone who wanted to have a kid, and she wants to have a kid, so she'd be like a single mother. And you're a single mother, right? Or did I just make that up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a single mom.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, of course. I don't know if this is maybe a stereotype that I've absorbed, but like, is it like really bad in Ireland to be like a single mom, like today in 2021, or is that like in the old days?
Oh, I think the old days. Yeah, I think it's fine.
Right.
A lot of people are divorced.
So like this. Well, the reason I asked that is because, like, in America, the idea is that no one really cares about single moms, right? Like, no one thinks it's taboo anymore. It's not like the 1950s. But it's crazy because when I got divorced, I never thought that, oh, I'm like a scandalous woman now that I'm unmarried or something. But people did start treating me very differently.
Did they?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. How were they treating you?
Like, in liberal New York City, like, there was like a little like, oh, like you're a single mom. Like there's a little bit of that going on.
Really? That's mad.
Yeah. I mean, nothing like you're a whore, you know, like nothing like that. But like just people just start treating you differently. And well, there's this funny thing that happened because I have a son. He's 7. And when I got a divorce, he was probably around 3 or 4. And I was extremely happy to be divorced because I wanted to for a long time. Like my ex-husband, he's great. Like he's one of my best friends and we're great friends, but it's just like, amazing. It wasn't romantic for years. It was just like almost like a business because we own a business together.
Yeah.
It was like a business relationship. It was like kind of, there was no real romantic love. So I felt really free. And so after my divorce, I was like, yeah, like just always happy dating, just sucking on some Irish dicks.
A big Irish penis.
You know, just doing whatever I wanted, you know, just being like single again and having fun. And I feel like every time I showed up at like a school event or, you know, where there are a lot of married friends or married parents, like there was like this like sort of different reaction to me than they used to have. And I have to say, this might be me projecting like what I think, but I feel like a lot of people are really unhappy in their marriages. Yeah. And then they have kids and they feel like they have to stick together, which is fine, which is really a great thing to do for your kids. But also sometimes it's not great because you're just two miserable people and your kid is absorbing that. And that feels really bad. And I feel like a lot of those people were sort of like, this is 100% me making this up and projecting. I was like, some of them I felt like were kind of jealous that I was like, I'm going to the club after this, you know, and just sleep with someone I don't know. Like I feel like there was this like mild resentment, and a lot of people, a lot of women especially, came up to me like, this, I was gonna make this into a comedy bit because it happened so much, but I would be on the playground and I'd be like, la, 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 like just smoking my jewel, like just like hungover and like being a single mom. And like I could always see them coming out of the corner of my eye. Like a mom would just sort of like quietly shuffle over to me and she'd be like, how's your divorce? And I was like, it's great. I'm having so much fun. And she'd be like, well, because I want to get divorced. And I was like, do it. It's so great.
I love that.
And to this day, it happens a lot. Like this, the other day it happened to me. I went to like a gift store and the person, I want it to be a little vague. I don't want the person to be like, oh no. I went to a store and she was like, oh, I've seen your son. Cause I was with my son. And she was like, oh, I've seen him with his dad. And I guess his dad's girlfriend. And she was like, oh, are you divorced? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I want to get a divorce. I was like, do it.
You're like the divorce. You're like the angel of divorce.
I just fly in.
Do it.
Do it.
I when you said though, like when you said that they'd be kind of looking at you weird, before you said that you thought it was jealousy, that was the first thing that came into my head. I was just thinking, because I'd feel that if I were trapped in an unhappy marriage and then seeing someone have like had the balls to get a divorce and live their life, because that's really scary, especially a lot of people who have shared income
I did.
Yeah, I got married young and kind of rely on their partner for their money. Like there was this, this is mad, but when I first moved over, I lived in Greenwich, just I was working in a country club, and this woman organized this like women's walk. I just went on it. And it was to like a charity to get money for a lot of young women would have married very young and then they would have gotten a divorce, but they were given nothing. So they would have had 10 years where they were just living off the husband's money. And then they were just like broke, poor, didn't know how to open a bank account, had nothing. So this like older woman organized this like walk for them. But I was like, Jesus, yeah, you never, especially if you got married young and you know, you could be tied in with the kids or whatever.
I mean, that was definitely me in a weird way. I mean, I had a really weird story because I grew up really poor and I'm still extremely poor, but like I met my ex-husband. We were both poor. We were just like, I worked in a restaurant. He was a line cook and I was a server. We got married and then we opened a business and it did really well. But then by that point I was just kind of like a stay at home mom. And so I never had anything to do with the runnings of the business, even though I went in there. Like I'm always kind of confused. And I got married when I was like 22, so I was stupid,
baby.
You know what I mean, like
your baby.
And so yeah, so then I didn't know what to do, so I all I'm saying is that I did feel a lot of that after I got divorced. I was like, how do I fill out a W-9, like, you know what I mean? Like I was like, oh, but then I just did it and like I figured it out, you know. It's scary, but it's just like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah. And it's the same as when you leave your parents' house, so
yeah,
you just have to, like, when I come over to America, I still am like, what is a W-9? I fill it out, but I'm still kind of confused. I remember my first, when I was trying to, I didn't understand a lot of the American stuff. It's so different in my country. And I remember going for a job and I wanted to prove I had social security, or like that I had visa. So I put my social security number on all of my resumes, but I didn't know that that's how someone can steal your life. So and it was only like a server ran out and was like, oh my God, you need to take this back as your social security number. So then I had to go back into all the bars and be like, can I have my resume back? I didn't know I'm not meant to put, like, I'm such an idiot.
I didn't even know that. I would have done that tomorrow. Like I would do that tomorrow.
Yeah. Cause they can steal your identity and like just be you.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, no, nobody wants to steal my identity though. So,
but yeah, still, you know. A horrible credit score.
and so you and your ex, you guys are friends.
Yeah, we're really close. We get along. We don't like, we fought obviously when we were getting a divorce, got heated. Every once in a while I'll like get really annoyed. I know this is really creepy, like, but literally the only way I can describe it, how I feel about him, is I feel like he's my brother. Like I really love him. I really care about him. I don't want to really be around him. Maybe once a year is good. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's zero, like I would barf if he like touched my shoulder. Like, do you know what I mean? Like that kind of like feeling. Like I really care deeply.
Yeah. When did it stop being romantic?
I mean, I think it happened in our marriage, like, you know, way before we got divorced. Like I had no feelings and, you know, I could sense that from him too. Yeah. But he was like very adamant about making it work. And I was like, you know, I was the one that was like, let's get a divorce. And he was really hurt by that. And I was like, maybe you're hurt because I'm the one that said it. But let's be honest, we both feel it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, No, that's great. And I think that takes, I think most people listening to this will have been in a relationship where you've said I love you, you've done all that, and then there's a good like 6 months before you break up where you didn't want to touch them. I remember my ex-boyfriend in Ireland, I used to go to my parents every weekend, and they were like, you're coming down here an awful lot. And I'm like, I was just making up, I didn't want to have sex with them, but it was just, it was such a switch from romantic to not romantic.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to say that that period for me was years where I like literally dread, and that was like, that was so bad. Now looking back, I'm like, I'll never do that again. So after I got divorced, every time I've been in a relationship, I literally have sex like 5 times a day with them until the day that we break up. It's like that, I will never let that happen again. You know what I mean? So I know think that's a really good, yeah.
I'm the same. I'm so horny. Like even like a couple of my partners have been like, well, I remember I was dating this DJ and he used to be like, how's my horny girl? And I'm like, aww. We would just have sex
that's
so much.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's me. It's
too.
So important.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. And also because I like to have sex so much, it's like, this sounds bad. I mean, my goal is to be single basically for the next 5 years. Like I don't, maybe for the rest of my life. Like, I know that sounds like weird, but I don't think I'm meant to be like a person that's in a relationship, like a monogamous relationship. I just don't think it fits my personality. And I think I just did it because like I was told since I was a small kid, like you need to have a husband, you know?
Yeah.
So I just did it, but I never want to. To this day, I like, even though I really like somebody, like there's no part of me that's like, oh, I want to only be with this person, or do you know what I mean? Like, I just, I'm so like against that. Why was I saying that? But the thing about the sex thing is, it's like, I just want to have a lot of sex all the time. And if this person can't do that or doesn't feel that way about me, like what? It's a sexual relationship. Like then we should just be friends. And you know what I mean? Like, why are we in a relationship?
Yeah, I agree with you. I remember I was seeing this guy and he said, I've had two guys that I've been seeing who said that they think my sex drive is much higher than them, which was shocking to me because I've always been told, or you're always told, that men are really horny and they want to have sex all the time, and it's not. You can meet people who men who don't want to have it, and then I'm like, okay, well, we're not compatible because sex is as important to me as the conversation. Or but I want to ask you, so oh god, I have loads of things to ask you just from what you said, but so have you been in a monogamous relationship since your divorce?
I have. I've been in two. And I think that was just, to be honest with you, the dregs of like me being so used to being in that, that I couldn't, like, my brain couldn't instantly snap out of not being that anymore. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it was like, it was kind of like a rebound thing for being, I was married for 10 years. So it's like, just like the use, like being used to that feeling. And so the first two people that I sort of had any sort of like sexual chemistry with, I did get in like relationships with, the first one was 6 months, the second person was 10 months, and both of those people were not good like they're great people, amazing people, but they're not for me. I should not have been in relationships with them. It was so horrible. And and I had to like really ask myself why I felt the need to like be in relationships with people that were just not right for me. And like, I think that's where I'm at right now. Like, I'm like, why do I keep wanting to get into relationships with people? And I'm like, I'm really careful to like describe what kind of people they were, because they're great people and I don't want to like talk shit about them, but they're extremely, extremely insecure people.
Yeah.
And I had to do a lot of emotional labor to make them feel secure in who they were. And I feel like that is something that I'm like used to, because I grew up with like a narcissist parent and his caregiver, who was my mom. And so that's what I saw growing up. So that's what I think I need to do in relationships. Like, I need somebody that's like super insecure, super broken, and I have to spend all my energy in fixing them and like supporting them and like showing them attention. And I feel like the last two relationships I was in really mirrored that. Which is fine, because a lot of people are insecure. I'm insecure. You know, like a lot of people need that emotional support. And if you go out in the world, I'm sure, because do you only date like straight men, right?
Okay,
so like if you date only straight men, or, you know, like that's most of who I date, there are so many straight like cis men who are very insecure. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah.
I agree with you. And I think I've dated a lot of insecure, very similar to what you're saying, where I've had to like put in a lot of emotional labor trying to make them feel secure and happy and attractive. I've dated a lot of guys. Now, the issue I find is that they come across very confident, secure and cool. And then when they become vulnerable, which is great. You want someone to be vulnerable, but it's like, whoa, this is like a therapist needs to sit down and do this work with you, yeah. because I can't yep. convince you. Like, I'm here, I'm having sex with you, I'm being loyal. And they're like, yeah. So I've experienced that a lot, and I've gotten to the same stage with you. Like, I would love a healthy relationship, but I am not, I will walk away as soon as I see someone being ragingly insecure. And like you said, we're all insecure a little bit, but expecting yeah. someone to fix you I think with men, maybe it is just because as women, we're able to talk about it more, or mm-hmm. I don't know, but I do meet more men who, I think it's rare that I've met a guy who's like fully secure, knows what he wants, expresses that. And that could be a guy who's been like, I don't want a relationship, I don't want a date, I don't want anything. Or a guy mm-hmm. who's like, I want a relationship, I know what I want. But I meet more guys who are kind of like just a mess. Once you start dating them, they just fall apart. Yeah.
And I'm not here to like blame myself, but there is a big part of me that like is comfortable with that, because it's yeah. very familiar, you know,
yes.
like that reminds me of my family. So same. When I see that sort of behavior, I am attracted to them. So I'm not yeah. like trying to be like, these men are all fucked up. I'm just like, for some reason, I keep wanting to date somebody like this, and I have to figure out what's going on with me before I ever get in another relationship. Do you know what I mean?
Completely. Like I've said it, I do a Patreon solo podcast for this podcast, but I said it on mm-hmm. it a lot. Like at some point I had to be like, okay, like, because they are, like you said, they're nice men, but when you date them, they're not good yeah. men to date. And it's like, at what point yeah, yeah. do I ask myself, I'm attracting, why am I attract? Because I was like, you know, over the 2.5 years doing this podcast, it's been kind of like some nice scenarios, but a lot more crazier scenarios, the ones that I date longer. Mm-hmm. And then I look back at 2 guys, really nice guys, who asked me on dates, and I just was like, no, I'm not interested. And now they're both in healthy long-term relationships. I stayed friends with them, and I'm just like, yeah. okay, why am I attracted? So it's same as yourself. It's like, we have to ask what.
Exactly.
But yeah, you just have to do, I guess you have to do the work. I think I'm getting better, and it sounds like you are too as well, which is great. And like that, you're not shitting on these guys. They're just, but some people are nice people and terrible people to date.
Oof, yeah, they just get, they're insecure, you know. Like my therapist said something really that stuck with me for so long, and it was one of my last relationships, not my ex-husband, but like this person would do this really horrible thing where they would like show me pictures of him like in bed with his ex where they're naked, like, and then he'd be like, and I'd be like, oh, and he'd be like, wow, you're really jealous, huh? I'm just, wow, you should really, like, he would do that. And my therapist was, and I was like, just so damn, like, besides other, like, he would tell me stories of like, he's like, you know, one of my best friends wants to sleep with me, but I really value our friendship, so I'm going to hang out with her tonight. I hope she doesn't try to sleep with me again. And I'd be like, why are you saying these things? And then my therapist said, you know, when people do those things, it's weird, because, and I would get upset at him and be like, what the fuck? You're so fucked up. And he'd be like, really confused. He'd be like, what? Why? Why are you mad at me? And my therapist said, when people are insecure and they act out of insecurity, they're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to soothe their insecurity.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was almost like, and those events would always follow these other weird rifts. I had like one day, like I would walk down the street and somebody would catcall me. And then my ex heard that. And then he would be like, here's a picture of me naked with my ex or something, you know, like something like that.
Yeah.
And then so. She was like, she was helping me be like, well, you know, like you are attractive and you guys go out a lot and people like respond to you, and that probably really hurts him. So he's trying to soothe himself with these like, well, I have one friend that would sleep with me, like, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just yeah. trying to be like, I've had so many guys try to take me down to their level instead of yep, being yep. like, come up to yeah. mine. And it's like, he's like, oh, she's hot, she could leave me at any stage, but look, I'm hot too. Or yeah, he also yeah. equates yep. jealousy as love and affection. So yep. when you're not getting jealous, you're like, this is just weird. He's like, oh, she doesn't like me because she's not like, some people need that, which is again, just equating love as drama and jealousy. And it's like, oh, love yeah. is where someone's like, whatever, okay, yes, I know anybody could fuck you, but I trust that you won't do that.
Yeah. And like that's a really good point, like that, like the arousal of anger and jealousy is very like intoxicating too, you know. But yeah, like I think it was very helpful for me to be like, okay, this person is not trying to hurt me. All they're doing is soothing their insecurities. But I still don't want to be with this person.
Yeah, you don't have to.
I don't want
to
look. I don't want to look at pictures of your fucking ex-girlfriend naked. Why is that still on your phone? Oh fucking my God, it's creep.
Crazy. I'm sorry. That is a big no-no. And that's the problem with people who... And like, I love what you said earlier about people who are unhappy in a relationship just get a divorce, because what will happen is the kids will see, and then they're like us, where they don't know. Because I like my parents got a divorce at 5, but like a lot of stuff I would have witnessed when I was younger. You know, it isn't healthy. And like, I think I stay longer in relationships that are bad just because it takes me a while longer to go, oh, that's not normal. Like you said, it's like you're comfortable in that. And you need friends. Oh, you know what? I like tell my friends. I'm getting so much better, but I'll tell my friends stuff. And then like Lindsay, you know Lindsay. And I remember telling her I was dating this guy that the whole time Dez used to do the podcast with me, and he'd be like, this guy is fucking nuts. And I'd be like, nah, he's just going through some stuff. And then he told me he didn't believe in outer space. And like just the horror. You know, Lindsay has tweeted a bunch about it. Like, I'm the friend who has been with a guy who didn't believe in outer space. But she was the horror on their face. And then you're like, oh, right. Yeah, that's weird. That is weird. It's like you need to see you need to see your friends be like, this is, and then you're like, oh God, yeah, okay.
Yep. No, I think that's like, I think we've talked about this. I think we have had like similar childhoods where it was a lot of gaslighting. So you kind of need to bounce things off people to be like, oh, you're right. Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Like that story, the naked ex-girlfriend story, like I told people and they were like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, okay, good. I'm not crazy. Because I thought I was crazy.
I know, because then they're like, why are you overreacting? And then you're like, oh, I don't want to be like my insert crazy parents. So you're like, okay, cool. You know, it's fine. Let's see her tits. And then you tell your friend and they're like, no, you were right to overreact. And you're like, damn it.
In that moment, I was like, I don't care. Ha ha ha. Like, I was like,
oh, look at her nipples.
I was like, I want to be the cool girlfriend. I'm the cool girlfriend. I'm not jealous, like that kind of shit. Oh my God, it was horrible. Thank God I'm single.
Yeah, well, that's the problem when you're trying, because I remember with my mother, my dad would say like, I hope you're learning how not to behave. And that's great. And I don't throw dishes at people. I don't get jealous. I'm not possessive. But in turn, sometimes I don't know when it's okay to be like, that's shitty and see you later. Yep. Like my Irish girlfriends over here, they're so great. But a couple of times I've been going on dates with people and I've been like, and they're like, you don't have to date them. Like, even if, you know, you can just like, this is one red flag. You can walk away after one red flag.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My friends have to tell me shit like that all the time. God, I don't want to talk shit on your people, but the guy that I was sleeping with, the Irish guy, there were some red flags and I kept putting up with it. And then I was like, all right, you know what? I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore.
It
took me such a long time. It took me like a month of like red flags to be like, why am I doing this? You know, but what you said earlier, sorry to interrupt you.
No, you go ahead.
Like what you said earlier, where you're like, because of your mom, and like my mom is still married to my dad, and it's like a toxic relationship. So it took me years to understand that thing. Like one red flag, I can leave. And like there's this fear like, well, what if I don't find someone else? All right, that's fine, because I don't have to deal with this person. You know, like I would rather be alone than hang out with Mr. Red Flags. You know what I mean? Like,
I know it takes a while to learn that, though. I'm the same. I'm like,
still struggling with it.
I'd rather watch Netflix now, but it took me to turn 30. Like for any young listeners listening to this, I was just giving advice to my friend about a very abusive person that they're dating, and now they're trying to be friends. Yeah. And then anyway, I was like, look, we can give you all the advice you want, but you're gonna keep doing what you want to do, and you're just gonna learn the hard way, and we'll be here for you, we'll support you. But that's what happens. You kind of just have to, I had to learn it the hard way a few times before now I know, but it took me years.
You have to go through the fire, but I'm still bad at it. Like this, I'm still like, why am I putting up with this? You know, I'm sitting there in bed like, why?
No, I know.
Sorry, I framed it. That was such a creepy way to frame it. I don't want to talk shit about your people, Katie, but
oh, it's fine. Here, I've been with some gaslighting Irish guys, and my Irish guy friends are amazing. There's some of them are in relationships and they treat their ladies so well, but I think it's like people everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was two Irish guys over here. Oh, no. You know what? That's a lie. There was a few Irish guys over here that I was like, oh, my God, you're giving our people a bad name.
It was that guy. It was that guy. I slept
with that. One guy texted me and he was like,
don't tell people you're Irish. Yeah.
He was like, why don't you want to go on a third date with me? I don't think I talked about this in the podcast. And I was like, I feel like I probably did it on the Patreon, but I was like, no, I just don't want to. I'm so sorry. I just don't feel like we're vibing. And then he was like, is it because you think I'm a creep? And I was like, no, I would like, because I didn't think he was a creep. And he was like, good, because when you stayed over that time, like I stayed over on the second date, but I told him we weren't having sex. It was just really late. And he said, like, you want to stay over? We'll get breakfast. And I'm like, yeah, cool. And I just didn't want to have sex because I just stopped seeing someone. And then he goes, okay, because if I were a creep, I would have put a hand on you when you asked me not to. So that shows I'm not a creep. And I was like, dude, are you looking for praise? You're not assaulting me.
You want me to say thank you for not raping me? Okay.
Then I had another Irish guy. Come on, lads. We got to get better. The ones back home are better. I'll tell you that. I just didn't want to go on a third date with him either. You know, he kind of bitched a lot about his ex and stuff. And he'd done a couple of things that made me very uncomfortable that I'd said I didn't want and stuff. So he just doesn't listen. And that was fine. And I kind of nicely was just like, oh, I'm not interested. And he was like, well, can we be friends? But like, we don't need a couple of dates. And I was like, sure. But you never mean that. Like, well, you didn't know me. And then he just kept texting and then I ignored him. And then he commented on something. So I like blocked him just because I was like, oh, I didn't. What he commented was like a little inappropriate. And I just figured, oh, he'll get the hint then, you know. And then he texts me again being like, Jesus. But it's like, well, you don't need to be on my Instagram. You don't like it's I don't want you commenting on stuff. And then I didn't respond. And then he sent me a voicemail.
Oh, God, no.
I know. No, this is a while ago, but yeah, and I had to be like, look, and he was like, but you were so nice. He said we could be friends. But like, here's the other thing. I don't talk to my friends multiple times in a week. So I was like, I go, look, I was just being nice. I really don't want anything to do with you. And like, it's nothing it is personal, but I just said, it's nothing personal. Just pretend like you don't know me. You never met me before.
Weird.
Sure.
Yeah.
Look, you know, so did you date him? You probably dated him.
That's the same guy.
It's the same guy.
It's just one. Yeah. No, I mean, like, obviously, it doesn't have anything to do with wherever someone's from. There's creeps all over, you know? But
there are all over. And it's the same when people go, like, guys will go, women are crazy. And it's like, no, women aren't crazy. People are crazy. Because I've dated some crazy motherfuckers, crazy. But I don't think all men are crazy. I want to ask you, is it hard dating, having a child, though, being a single mom?
You know what's so crazy? And I think that this is like, it says a lot about, you know, I'm very aware of like the privilege that I have as like, I'm Asian, but I'm like biracial and I read as like attractive or young. Like you said, I look younger than I am and I look, you know, whiter than other Asian people or, you know, I'm like a little bit more, I dress a little bit more funky and blah, blah, blah. And because of all those things, I think it puts me in a different like, place than what somebody would like generally think of like 36 year old single mom who's broke. You know, like that's not like what you're seeing in your head when you think that. So I think it like has never really affected me, but that having been said, like there probably are people who I matched with on a dating app and when they found out I had a kid stopped talking to me and I just didn't know that. You know what I mean? Like no one's gonna be like, hey, I don't want to talk to you anymore because you have a kid. Like no one's gonna say that to my face, right?
No,
like,
never.
So I don't know if anyone's done that to me, but like I mean in terms of like do I have people that want to constantly date me? Yes. You know what I mean? And like there's a lot of factors that go into that. Yeah.
Even the physicalness. So let's say like you have a son. Now do you and your ex-husband have like joint custody or is it hard to like find a baby? Like that's what I always think would be hard to find a babysitter or is it like you're bringing the guy home, you're like shh.
Well I only I share custody with my husband, ex-husband, and he's there half the time and he's with me half the time, so when he's not at my apartment I go on dates and I sleep with whoever I want and do whatever I want, you know, like and it's really great. But I was like thinking about like trying to write like a comedy joke about this because my neighbors, they must hear like it must be so like chaotic because like half the week I'm like with you can hear me and my son like doing Zoom school, like doing like art and watercolor, like good job, and like asleep at 8:30, and then the other half I'm just getting fucking railed, just like there's like 18 people over, just like cast the ketamine, I don't know what, like let's not, I'm just joking, I'm not gonna,
hey, Irish people love ketamine. I've never done it, but I know a fair amount really? Who love ketamine.
Just like fucking up till 7 a.m. just getting like my ass pounded and just like hearing, like how chaotic is that?
You should write a sitcom about that. That would be great. Your pilot, like had that, the life of a single mother half the time and like a young woman having fun the other half. Like, I think that's great.
Yeah, there's like these funny things. Like my friend, there's this one thing. This is the most chaotic thing. This is going to make it into the pilot if I ever write a pilot. My friend was like, I'm throwing a rave. But she was like, it doesn't really pop off until like 6 a.m. And I was like, that's psychotic. Who the hell is going to a party? And she was like, yeah, it pops off at 6 and it's like pretty bumping up to like 9 or 10 a.m. And then it like shuts down at noon or 1. And I was like, I don't understand anything you're saying. And she was like, why don't you come after you drop your son off from school? So I dropped my son off. And then that day, my ex-husband was going to pick him up, right?
Yeah.
So I drop him off in the morning, and then I don't see him for like 4 days or 3 days. So like, I dropped him off at 8:30 and I went to this fucking rave.
That's amazing. I love
it. And I was just like, yeah. And I was just like taking shots and I was like, I got 4 days of freedom. Psychotic.
No, it's amazing. That kind of, and that's exactly what you should be doing. You're like inspirational. Yeah. If I ever get a divorce, I'm gonna be like, okay, I have to go get a divorce, yes. Get a child.
Yeah, it hits different once you have had a divorce. Raves hit different once you've been divorced.
Because you had your freedom taken. And in fairness, most people get to do that from 22 to 30. You didn't get to do that.
Yeah.
So you're living it now.
And I have to say, I'm like, you know, I'm like talking about being single and stuff. But when I am in a relationship, I'm extremely loyal. Like I don't know what it is, but I can't cheat.
No,
like that would make me feel, I don't care about having sex with multiple different people at a time if I'm telling them. But if I tell somebody that I'm monogamous, cheating just feels bad in like a not fun way. Do you know what I mean?
I've never cheated on anybody. I even struggle if I have sex with someone, I struggle. And if I know they like me or I like them, I struggle like going on dates with other people. I have to be very communicative. Or if I like them and I have sex with them, I have to be like, oh, like, let's like not have sex with other people. Like, it's, we don't have to be in a relationship. But like, I'm always like nearly over communicating. I'm the same as you. It just feels, I don't know.
It feels wrong.
Yeah, it feels wrong. It's not fun. Not fun.
Yeah.
But so you would be in a non-monogamous relationship where you could have sex with other people once the person, would you be comfortable with that?
I don't know if I am even at a place where I would do that in the future, but right now, like just the fact of just being responsible for someone else's feelings in that capacity just doesn't feel, it feels like too much for me right now. Like right now, what I like doing is just sleeping with people, not really talking about anything, just being like, okay, we're going on dates, we're having sex. You know, let's not, you know, we're having fun. I don't want to discuss anything. Do you know what I mean?
How do you do that? So you just go on, do you actually go on dates and like have dinner and drinks and then just have sex and then never talk about your feelings?
Yes. And then, well, okay. So I think for most of the pandemic, I just was like hooking up with people that were like my friends. And so we would just be like hanging out like friends. Not even on dates. We just like end up at the same thing and then have sex. And then there would be people that I would just call and then we would have sex. And then there were like a few people that I would like go on. But like now I'm like, I don't even know. Because like I would go on dates with people and sleep with them. And I don't know. It just feels like even that almost feels like too much.
Yeah.
But I'm not. But I do it. Like I do like see certain people and date and like go have dinner with them and drinks and then have sex and stuff like that. Like, but it, I mean, the last few times I've done that, it's ended very like, ugh, like it's made me feel really too vulnerable or something. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you're just not in a place to be emotionally vulnerable at all.
No, I think the pandemic has made it way worse because before I was totally fine with going. And now I'm like, I feel like a little bit of like an introvert, you know?
I feel like scary. So. I do think, I don't know. I like, sometimes I'm like, I hate blaming cultures and being like, oh, Irish people are like emotionally unavailable. But then it's like, ah, no, like I've really worked on it since I come over here. But mm-hmm. I think like I had, I was going on a couple of dates with a British guy, but I really liked the vibe, as in it just reminded me of home and the way we like we would just have fun. There was no, I don't know how to explain it, kind of liked how I don't need to talk too much or be too corny. It makes me uncomfortable, but I don't want to judge someone who's like that. And then recently I've been going on dates with this really nice Latin man, and he's great and he's everything I would have wanted, but he's just so like he sent me a text message being like, am I gonna get a kiss tonight? And it made me be like, now I don't want to kiss you. I'm like, why am I like that? Why am I so? And like, no, he'll like,
weird text.
Okay.
You just shouldn't judge your, no, that's okay. Ugh. Where am I kiss at? Ew.
And like, I'll say it to him. I'll be like, okay, can you stop? And he'll just like laugh. So I don't know if he's like winding me up, but it's also like, I don't enjoy it. And then he's just so affectionate so quickly. And it's like, yeah. I know this is what I should want. I should want someone to be into me and like me, but I actually prefer when they're like more like a friend. And then when we're in the like privacy of an apartment, then they're more like touchy feely. But then I was really comparing the cultures, because I was like, maybe it's just Irish British culture, or maybe we're like naturally more cold. And then he was blaming his culture. He was like, ah, you know, we're Latinos. And I'm just like, our first date, he was like walking me to the train and he was like grabbing me and like kissing me. But I was just, it just was too much for me. I feel like I need.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, I want someone who wants to see me, but also not too much. Like I know exactly what I want, but I just haven't. It's hard
to put into words. Yeah.
Like, I'd love to be in a healthy relationship, but a relationship to me is someone who wants to see me like once or twice a week, will text me and stuff like that. But but it's fine. We can do our own thing. And I'm not saying that he won't do that, but it's like, I don't know why I struggle with like too affectionate too soon. I just think it's like I don't like rushing into affection, you know. It feels like I'm lying too, because if I'm like, yes, you're getting kisses, it's like, I actually don't know if I like you. I don't technically know you.
Yeah. I'm okay with affection, and like what you're saying, like I'm very physical in bed. I'm very, you know, like comfortable touching and stuff, but like in public, I'm a little,
yeah, I'm fine with that too. In bed too. Now I haven't slept with this guy because I'm taking time. This poor lad, I'm just taking time because I don't know. I just was like, oh, sex complicates everything. I love sex so much, and sometimes I'll date people because I love having sex, and I want to make sure from now on that I'm not dating people for sex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the worst, man.
So trying to get to know them first.
Stigmatized.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because even if it's three dates,
they fucking hit that tailbone. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, I love you. They're scrambling up your organs. You're like, I'm in love with you. No, I'm not.
I know, and especially if it's good, it's just, it makes me like them so much more. And then it's like,
I know.
Yeah, I just want to make. Yeah, it's like trying to just figure out what you want. I want is like someone who's like my best friend, who I can have great crack with, have great sex, and it's monogamous. But I don't want, like, I don't know. I don't want to be like, so we having a kid tomorrow? Are we getting married? Are we moving in?
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems to be
talk about. Yeah, sorry.
Well, it seems to be polar opposites on the apps. It's either guys being like, "What do you want? I want to get married in a year. I want to have a kid," or guys being like, "I want no commitment." And you're like, "Fuck."
Yeah.
But anyway, what were you going to say?
I wanted to ask you about, because I saw like on your social media, like you're in a relationship, right?
No.
Were you recently?
No. I was.
Sorry, you know what I'm talking
about? No. I talk about everything. Oh, okay. I was seeing a guy during the pandemic. I was seeing two different guys. So it accumulated about 8 months, but one was 5 and one was 3. But that was it. We just and then I was dating a guy for 2 months, and then I went on a couple of dates with a British guy. That was it.
How did you meet these people that you're in these like 5, 3 month, 2 month relationships with?
All of them Hinge, yeah.
I never had anything that I would call a relationship. But in the beginning of quarantine, I had like these like people that I would text every single day, like and I feel like everyone was doing this because they were bored. And I would call them my boyfriends because I was like getting in these like intense relationships with these people like over DM. There's this guy, like, I remember we would, like, DM each other at, like, 3 in the morning. I would cry, Like, he didn't even live in this country. He lived in Asia, and he was, like, biracial. So I'd be like, it's so hard being biracial. And he'd be like, I know. And I'm like, you're so hot. So weird, but I don't know if I would call anything. Oh, what I wanted to say also, what I like about the Irish guys that I've slept with and what I love, and I don't know if this is weird. I love it when dicks are uncut. Like, that's my thing. And they're always uncut. I'm like, yes. And the last time I slept with the Irish guy, I was like, oh, I forgot my favorite part. Yes.
And what do you love about it? Because for me, I actually don't really notice the difference.
Well, yeah, I feel like when it's hard, you can barely notice the difference. Mm. But I feel like there's just like so much more to play with.
Yeah, it's easier to get blowjobs because they're more sensitive, I feel. So you're like, so much easier to get blowjobs. Like, you just touch them with your tongue at the top and they're like, oh my God.
I know. It's so much easier to give blowjobs. It's just, I don't know, it's just all around more enjoyable.
Yeah. Personally. That's great. That's great. Most of the male listeners have the top of their penis.
Good.
My note said TikTok, good. Single mom, sex, dating, Irish man.
Uncut dicks.
And so... Well, yeah, but like, I think for me, they weren't technically relationships either. We were exclusive, though. I was exclusive with both of those guys. So, and for me, that's a relationship. Oh. I don't know what they think a relationship
is. No, that is, though.
Yeah. It's
well, because I never even got to the point of talking about that with anyone, and I haven't in a long time. Oh, and then after my last relationship, which was like a year and a half ago now, maybe more, I promised myself I would be single for an entire year, because in my adult life, I haven't been single for more than 3 months at a time, which is insane.
So have you been single for a year yet?
Yeah, it's been like a year and a half.
Oh my God, that's great. That's amazing. Yeah.
Now I feel like there's no turning back.
Yeah, look, like, you're having fun. Well, you said, though, you're not really enjoying the sex with the casual sex anymore. So.
Oh, no, I enjoy the casual sex. Oh, I'm fine with the. Yeah. I'm totally fine with. I'm not okay with the, like, that weird gray area between just complete casual sex and then our dating, you know, like, that makes me really uncomfortable, you know. And then it's like, because part of me feels like mildly trying, like, starting to catch feelings. When you do go on, like, dates where you're eating with someone and then going home and having sex with them and then waking up and getting brunch together, like, you start, like, feeling sort of, like, domestic, and you start feeling these things. And then because I don't want to be in a place where I'm like, you can't sleep with anyone else. I don't want to be monogamous. So then it's, like, feeling, like, yucky and scary, you know? Yeah. It's like, oh, wait, do I like you? No, I don't want to be with you, but I kind of don't want you to sleep with anyone else. But, like, I don't want to do that. You know, like, it gets really confusing.
So it's more your feelings. It's not theirs. It's more that you're just not ready to feel vulnerable again.
Yeah, yeah. So that weird gray area is, like, the thing that I don't like. Like, if it's just full-blown casual sex, and I have, like, people that I just have sex with, and it's very clear that that's all we're doing, like, that's great, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good. At least you know your boundaries. That's really important. Because a lot of people feel that way. They don't know it. Then they date someone for 6 months and they're in and out and they're, like, freaking out. They're like, I want to be with you, but I'm not ready. So,
yeah. And it's, like, unfair, you know? Like, yeah. I don't want to, like, because I don't want to, like, be like, oh, yeah, I want to be with you. I'm like, no, I don't. Like, you know what I mean? It's unfair to the other person, so.
Yeah, 100%. No, it's great. So when one of the questions I'll ask it, I know you have to go soon. So did you have to introduce new partners, those two partners you were dating, to your son?
I did. And, you know, he was like, I'm sure it affected him. I didn't really even think about it because I was so, like, chaotic at the time. And I literally was like, I'm going to get married to this person. Like, those two guys, I was like, I'm going to get married to this person. And then I was like, what am I doing? No, I'm not. Yeah.
Well, so embarrassing when you look back.
I was still in that weird monogamy zone that I had to sort of, like, kind of taper off, right? So... And then looking back, I was like, I'm not going to get married to anybody ever again. So I'm like, if I do introduce somebody now, it's going to have to be, you know, it's going to have to be, like, serious, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
and he's older now. He's 7. So he's going to really, like, he remembers my ex, my last ex. So.
But he'll have more opinions now. And yeah, 100%. What would be your advice to the woman who's planning to have the kid solo?
Do it. Yeah, I mean, it's the worst. Don't do it. if you want a kid, just do it. And like, honestly, if you want a kid, if you really want a kid, it's not going to make that much of a difference if there's a man there with you or not. Like, yeah. To be really honest with you, it's going to be horrible. And like, it's going to be a lot of work. Like, I have my ex and like, I can just, you know, the 3 days off that I have a week has made such a huge difference. And if I was by myself and there was nobody to like do that for me, I would be like, that would be way too much for me. You know what I mean? Like, that would be overwhelming. But if you have like the financial means to have like a caretaker or somebody that lives, you know, from your family that lives close by that you can literally like hand your child over for a few days, then then do it.
But this is the thing about life. Like, if you really want a kid, if that's what you really want, who am I to tell you anything else? Like, maybe that's, you know, that's fine. Do it, you know.
But I think that's important. And that's important not even for people who want to have kids, but for relationships as well. Like, how important it is, any relationship, if it's a friendship, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or your child, to take time off and take space. Because you can't be with anybody all of the time. It's ridiculous.
It's so crazy. I mean, the times when I have my son, it's just me and him. Because I, like, at this point, I can't really afford a caretaker. And it's just 3 or 4 days straight with him is, like, it's a lot. It's, like, as soon as you, you know, they wake you up, you know, and then it's just, like, somebody, like, imagine, like, you're driving a car and someone's kicking the back of your seat for 4 straight days. Like, that's the feeling of like annoyance that having a child around you at all times. It's just like your nerves are shot.
Yeah, you know? I can't even imagine. And then I remember asking someone, I don't know who it was, but when you were talking about if you were to have a kid solo, and they were in a relationship with kids, and they were saying, you know, people say, oh, it's easier because there's someone to help. But she was like, actually, I think it'd be easier to do it alone, because when there is when you're in a partnership, you're constantly blaming each other. Like, well, I'm doing more work here, you're doing more work here. Whereas when it's just on your own, you're only relying on yourself. You just get the job done. You're not like pissed off at someone for not doing their equal share of the work. And I was like, oh, that's very true.
I agree. It's so much easier now to be a parent. I think the ideal situation is that there's just a big community that shares all the work, and if one person wants a little break, they can wander off. But that's not going to happen in New York City. So like, the idea that a man and a woman together, that family unit, makes zero sense. It's so toxic. It never really works. I've rarely seen it work for anybody who doesn't have like a caretaker. And I think that we should all, as a society, move away from that.
Yeah, or just be okay with what you said, like caretakers, or like making sure you enforce Friday night, Saturday night, get your babysitter and go out and do you things. I don't want ever want to be in a happy, beautiful relationship and then it gets destroyed because we had a kid. I want to make sure that we put in like that. I'm going to, like, if I ever meet someone and they insist on us having a kid, because I'm like, so one day I want a kid, next day I don't want a kid. My life is pretty great. Yeah. So I'm kind of like fine if it doesn't happen. But I'm going to make sure that there's like a calendar and be like, these are date nights. Okay, motherfucker. Yeah. We're still doing us. I don't want to like hate my kid because our relationship gets wrecked.
You can't be with the three of you the whole time. It's never worked in the history of mankind. Like, people have always needed their mom or their neighbor or their sister or their older child. Like,
there was communities. There was big families living together. Yeah,
it's not natural for a man and a woman and a child to just be together all the time. That's weird.
It's weird.
That's so funny.
I'll leave you
on that.
You have to go now. So what's your podcast? Feeling Asian, right?
Oh, I have a podcast called Feeling Asian. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at YM Mayer. I have a TikTok, Young Me Mayer, if it gets restored.
It will.
That's it.
Thanks so much for listening. I am doing an episode tomorrow with two of the lads that I met in Miami. We're going to do it, well, obviously over Zoom, but we're going to talk about, because when I was out with one of them, he was like, just mention about this thing that this girl did to him. So I thought it'd be fun to do like sex tips with them, and like from their perspective, from two lads' perspective of what they like. Also, I have an episode coming up with two people who don't identify as straight, and we're going to talk, one of them's an Irish girl and one of them's an American man. So we're going to do an episode based on that as well. So if you have any kind of topics or advice you want, shoot those into me. So at Katie Boyle Comic or at Contact the Shift. So or if there's anything you want to cover, any guests you would like to hear on the podcast, please message me. And if you can write, review, all of that, it all helps. Tell your friends, tell your family, maybe not your family, but other than that, as I said before, Patreon.com/shiftpodcast, loads of stuff up there if you want extra content or video. And I'll chat to you next week. Have a great week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.